Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating. Resistant pyoderma just seems to get worse and worse every year. I mean, it is very scary, the cultures that we are getting. I mean, very limited to types of antibiotics that are available, classes of antibiotics that will just be completely resistant. And when we talk about the importance of antimicrobial stewardship, it's really important that we are thinking of One Health in veterinary medicine, because it really can affect what we're seeing even on the human side. I've had some human physicians who I see their pet and will talk about really the scary aspect of dealing with resistant infections, and something that they're obviously seeing as well. So we want to make sure we're doing our due diligence as veterinarians and really looking for alternatives for antibiotics. So based on kind of a lecture I recently given about alternatives to antibiotics, I wanted to kind of go over some interesting aspects of staphylococcus and resistance and alternative treatments with you guys. When we think of resistant infections, we are to the point where, yes, we throw around the term methicillin-resistant staph, MRS, you know, MRSP, MRSA, MRSA all the time. But what does that actually mean? That means the bacteria is resistant to beta-lactam antibiotics, so cephalosporins, penicillins. When you get a culture back, a lot of times you'll see it's a oxacillin. So depending on the availability of methicillin, if it's oxacillin resistant, and some labs will report it out as oxacillin slash methicillin, by nature it is a methicillin resistant staph. So no matter what the culture says, and I don't know why some cultures will still say you could use a cephalosporin in those cases, do not use the beta-lactam antibiotics. By nature, if it is methicillin resistant, we cannot use beta-lactam antibiotics. The other thing I want you guys to be really cautious of is throwing around the term MRSA. MRSA is methicillin resistant staph aureus. You can get that in pets, but most of the time we're dealing with MRSP, which would be methicillin resistant staph pseudintermedius, or MRSS, methicillin resistant staph schlefferi. When we call anything that's methicillin resistant staph MRSA, that can really trigger a scary response for our clients. I have had a dog that was owned by two dentists that they were told their dog had MRSA, and they literally were keeping that dog in the garage away from their family because they had children, and that made them nervous. And that dog was almost euthanized. Because MRSA is something that obviously, especially for those in the medical field, they understand the depths of it, and they didn't want their family to catch it. So just be really cautious of the terminology that you use. Beyond that, you'll hear things called MDR resistant, multi-drug resistant. So this is co-resistance to two additional antimicrobial classes. A step further, and unfortunately that's where we're at, that we actually have a step further of resistance, is extensively drug resistant, or XDR. That is when you're not susceptible to anything but two or fewer antimicrobial classes. So you just like cross off all the antibiotics that will work against you, except for maybe one or two classes. And that's really scary that we're at the point of having such resistant bacteria. So when we talk about the importance of resistant infections and what do we do about it, you know, clearly, yes, there's antibiotics, and sometimes we do have to use those in certain cases. But I do want to talk about some alternatives, and we don't want to be throwing every single little superficial pyoderma on antibiotics. One, we have to do cytology to prove it actually is a pyoderma, right? Because it could be malassezia, it could be an autoimmune or neoplastic process that's not even bacteria. So we do not want to be using antibiotics inappropriately. Again, we need to be good stewards for not only our patients, but for our clients as far as One Health goes. But by utilizing things like topical therapy, that is going to be really, really beneficial, not only to reduce our use of antibiotics or when we only truly need them, but there's lots of products that have things that help the skin with them. So whether it's the Duxo line that has Ofetrium in it that helps restore the epidermal barrier, or just the process of doing things like bathing and removing pollens from the skin can help not only treat our infections if we use the right products, but it's also going to remove those pollens and reduce that cutaneous absorption. Remember, when we talk about atopic dermatitis, especially dogs, you know, feline atopic skin syndrome, these are cutaneously absorbed. You know, back in the day, they used to say, oh, it's inhaled allergens. It's not in dogs and cats. It's absorption. That's why we see them show us skin infections, right? That's why we're so lucky that we have the ability to do topical therapy, that the organ that we're dealing with in dermatology is on the outside. We can touch it, we can see it, we can feel it, so we can put stuff on it. So topical therapy, even if you look at the recommendations, you know, for approaches to methicillin-resistant staph, which is actually a paper that you can access that was put out in 2017, they mentioned that topical therapy that's effective for superficial pyoderma is really the way to go. It's really the way to start, you know, if we're able to. That means the pet and the owner have to be compliant. But bathing, I mean, even if they can't bathe, there's mousses, sprays, right? There's so many ways that we can try to treat these things topically. We have to be really, really cautious of empirically selecting antibiotics for every infection, especially if we think that a methicillin-resistant staph could be there. You know, then we really want to either culture if we feel like we do need antimicrobials that are systemic, or, you know, we can look for really, really strict, stringent topical therapy that can manage a lot of these alone. And besides the, you know, reducing our overuse of systemic antibiotics as helpful for not continuing to add to the resistant problem for infections in pyoderma, we also have to know why it's there. Remember, staphylococcal infections are not a primary issue in most cases. They are there for a reason. So if we do not figure out what allergy is causing it, or maybe not allergies, maybe it's an endocrinopathy, maybe the pet's got a keratinization disorder, maybe they've got a follicular disorder, maybe their you know, immune system's not working well because they have internal cancer, like whatever is causing that infection to happen, if we just treat the infection but don't address that or investigate that, that is also not helping us in our fight to be really cautious of antibiotic use, because we have to know the why. We have to know why these infections are happening. So why do antibiotics fail? Well, obviously we get resistant infections. If we empirically pick antibiotics when it's not appropriate, we could be picking the wrong antibiotic, just further causing that bacteria to be resistant. We could use too low of doses. We cannot treat long enough. So, you know, if we have a really deep pyoderma, 1 week of antibiotics is not going to be sufficient. So if we don't completely treat that, recheck them before we stop, then that's potentially going to breed resistance too. You're relying on systemic medications to perfuse to that site. So if for some reason that dog's not getting good perfusion to the site where the infection is, that can also, you know, breed resistance and cause some issues. So I want to focus on really chatting about alternatives. So yes, topical therapy is definitely going to be one of the preferences that we have. If you look at the literature, really 3 to 4% chlorhexidine seems to be the sweet spot for treating pyoderma and getting really good efficacy. So, you know, the Duxo S3 Pyo line is a 3% chlorhexidine. You have Trizchlor 4, which is a 4% chlorhexidine. Using 3 to 4% is my preference when dealing with pyodermas, as far as like talking about staphylococcal infections and bacterial infections. Frequency really depends on the infection. You know, there are some protocols that SIVA's put out with the Duxo line, S3 line, where you can bathe the first day and then use a mousse 2 to 3 times per week, you know, for 2 times that first week because you bathe the first day, and then 3 times the next 2 weeks. And they have some data that shows that that can be very clinically equivalent to bathing often, which is us as dermatologists really enjoy. So if you can't have them bathe often, there are other things like the mousses and the pads for focal areas that you can also use. But bathing is something that as dermatologists we love because you're removing stuff from the skin, you're getting those pollens off the skin, and you know, owners just feel better because they feel like their pet is cleaner. Now, as far as other like topical solutions that can be used, sodium hypochlorite or bleach is something that we do have to use in some of these cases. You know, what dilution needs to be used is very variable depending on the literature. One particular study looked at concentrations that were bactericidal in 12 different MRSP isolates, and they found the minimum concentration was somewhere around like 1 to 32. So most isolates were showing an MIC of a dilution of bleach from 1 to 64 to 128. You know, clearly the more concentrated you get, you can risk things like xerosis, which is drying of the skin. But for me, if I have a really bad infection, like I can figure out the drying of the skin later once we get past the infection. So that doesn't particularly bother me. You know, I use kind of anywhere between, you can see like 1 to 10, like 1 to 20, 1 to 30 dilution, and most of them seem to tolerate it pretty well. If they're really severe, you can do it up to daily in severe cases. Sometimes I have them bathe with chlorhexidine, you know, like once or twice a week, and then kind of do dilute bleaches in between. I don't have them rinse it off. We just want it to sit on the skin. It's still bleach. So you have to be really cautious of letting it dry on the animal and not just letting them run around the house with bleach dripping off of them. I have them do it, either apply it outside and let the animal dry outside, or, you know, do it in a bathtub or bathroom and let them dry before they see the rest of the house. You can kind of do soaks, sponge, or sprays. There is a product of dilute sodium hypochlorite in a shampoo. If you have a pet for some reason that's sensitive to something like chlorhexidine, it's called Command Shampoo by Vetramax. And they have a small study that shows some really good efficacy against staph as well. The last kind of alternative I want you guys to think about, which is newer, and I'll probably do a more in-depth episode about this in the future, is the fluorescent light therapy fovea. You guys have probably heard it around. It's by Vetoquinol. The idea is photobiomodulation. So this is different than laser, cold laser. This is using forms of light sources and the visible in infrared spectrum. And so essentially what they know about photobiomodulation is you can get secretion of several growth factors by utilizing this: epidermal growth factors, vascular endothelial growth factors, fibroblast growth factors, collagen, you know, all good things as far as wound healing. There's a chromophore gel you'll actually put on the skin, and when that blue light from the fovea unit hits that gel, it essentially creates a rainbow array of colors that have different benefits. Like the blue light can be antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. The deeper red light that the chromophore gel kind of emits can help with angiogenesis and reduce inflammation. So I think it's a really exciting thing. I've tried it on a few cases. I think as we're looking for alternatives, especially in focal infections, they have studies looking at using it as a sole therapy in superficial pyoderma, and even using it in conjunction with systemic antibiotics for deep pyoderma, and seeing a really, really big reduction in how long these dogs took to get to resolution, like several weeks when you added in fovea, that they would resolve faster than just systemic antibiotics alone. So in the future, I hope to maybe put together a podcast episode for you guys, really diving into what that is, especially as I get more experience with it. But I also just think it's really nice to have alternatives for clients. You know, a lot of them are nervous to use things like antibiotics. If we do have something like a focal hotspot, can we use something different like fluorescent light therapy to help that and minimize the use of antibiotics? When you do the chromophore gel, you know, can do it twice weekly, and that can either be two separate applications, or you could actually do the two applications back to back. So I've had owners bring their pet in, we'll do the application, the light each round lasts 2 minutes. We'll take a break, kind of wipe the chromophore gel off, reapply it, because you need to reapply it, and then redo the 2 minutes. And it's really nice and easy for owners to do, and pets tolerate it really well. So just really exciting things coming out, alternatives, whether it's topical therapy, light therapy that we can utilize in these cases, and just things I want you guys to be thinking about as we are trying to be good stewards and, you know, good doctors, technicians, staff, everyone, just really being cautious of how much we're using antibiotics. I totally get, and I still use lots of antibiotics of the bad cases I see, but I think that really trying to trend towards not having that be your go-to, we're going to see hopefully improvement in the amount of resistance that we continue to see get worse and worse every year. So something that I really hope you guys think about. Any questions on it, you know, leave some comments at the DermVet or send me a message. But something that I'm really excited about, and I hope you guys are too.